All right, what's going on? Here we are with another episode of Cognizant and Cognizance, episode 29 this week. And yes, this is my final announcement. I'm coming to a close with my podcast masterclass, which is great. I've learned quite a bit, actually. And so, okay. Here we go. A little pause break for you guys. Have fun. Jeez, you really wanted me to be done with that stuff, didn't you? All right, okay. Settle down. Shut up. Anyway, let me get right back into it here. Everybody's favorite part. Here's my 10 cents for thought. And I got a better one this week. Last week was a little bit dreary. I feel like I didn't really do much in favor of myself last week. I didn't really do myself any favors, I should say. That's how normal people talk. But so today, am I a little bit better than yesterday? Oh, yeah, for sure. Got a lot more done in terms of general life today. I'm getting to record this now at 7:45 instead of at midnight like I have been the past couple weeks, which is great. It means I got a bunch of shit done, and a little more on the ball today. I've been getting some good quality sleep this week, which is great. It's something that I haven't been able to do at all in the past, 6 months, really. My sleep schedule's been all out of whack, but I think I'm correcting that. So as far as healthier choices, I'll skip ahead to my full nickel here. Yeah, I mean, healthier choices all around. Started trying something out new this week, intermittent fasting, which is good. And I've tried it before and I never really made it more than a day because I was just always forgetting not to eat breakfast. But I've been doing that for 4 days now consistently. So I'm basically a pro. Seeing some real results, bro. But 4 days into actually trying out a regimen of intermittent fasting, and I feel phenomenal, by the way. Anybody who's considering it, not sure if it's right for your lifestyle, it kind of sucks for the first day or two. The whole waiting to eat and then only eating in that 8-hour period. Best results apparently come from eating for 8 hours and then fasting for 16, ideally getting your workout in while you're fasted. So that's something I'm going to be trying tomorrow, but I do feel better. And the building of the character goes along with disciplining yourself not to eat outside of that 8-hour window. So I didn't eat until about 12:30 today, so I'm going to be eating my dinner in about 10 minutes here, which is great. I'm still within the 8-hour window. So did I get my best at work? Yeah, I mean, y'all know how it is. You don't always give your best when you should. Sometimes you have a good day. Sometimes you have a bad day. Had a much better day at work today for sure. It's important to give your best, just if only for your own peace of mind. I know that you're not being a lazy piece of garbage, but also to keep your job and continue to have money in your pocket and in your bank account. So that's good. What did I learn new today? I learned that London, maybe it's the UK in general, has one of the Glasgow has one of the craziest homeless populations, or no, it's the UK has one of the craziest homeless populations in the world, specifically places like London and Glasgow. So apparently there's a lot of homeless Glaswegians, and I don't know what people from London are called. Why do I know what people from Glasgow are called, but not from London? Anyway, a lot of homeless people in the UK, apparently, one out of every 200 people is homeless or something like that, which is crazy. I don't know how accurate those figures are, but that's what this article said, so it's got to be real, right? Any hoozles. Number 6, have I protected my planet? I'm a piece of shit, and I don't drive a hybrid, and I leave the lights on sometimes, so no, didn't protect my planet. I'm doing my best, man. trying. I'm not a vegan still. It's never gonna happen. But I mean, you know, I do my best. Tried not to use single-use cups whenever possible, although that's really all we have at work. So I got to get another water bottle. Blah blah blah. Number 7. If I express my love for my family and friends, oh for sure, yeah. Over last weekend, went up and, you know, donated some of my time to my friend Zach, who we had to put the docks in at his cottage. So that was super fun. This is the first year in a long time that. Excuse me. That burp there. First year in a long time since we've been doing it that it was actually nice out while we were putting the docks in. It was probably about 55, 60 degrees. The water was still freezing in this bay, like probably 30 degrees. But usually it's sub 40 degrees in the air and the water's even colder when we go up there. So, but yeah, it was nice to do that with him. Got to hang out with one of my buddies, Tyler, that I don't really ever see. And then another friend, Brendan, and got to just like spend time with their with Zach's family and do a little bonding, all that kind of good shit. Number 8, have I spent quality time with my spouse? My girlfriend doesn't live here. She's in Philadelphia, so no, not yet. But 2 weeks from now, two weeks from tomorrow, I will be in Philadelphia for Cinco de Mayo, which is great. Can't wait for that. It's going to be great. 9, do I bear any grudges against anyone? No, not particularly. Don't really have the attention span to hold a grudge longer than like an hour. So, every time I get to this question, I really am trying to think if there's a grudge I hold against anyone. Maybe the fucking stock analyst that overinflated Lyft's value on their IPO. That's kind of annoying because now I'm going to have to hold on to that forever just to make it back. But I also kind of hate myself for it because I bought in way too early. And I also had the chance to short it and I didn't. And then it dropped. Whatever. I guess I'm holding a grudge against myself right now for being too hot to trot on a Lyft IPO and then not doing anything to correct it with like any, all right, whatever. And number 10, the all important and also simultaneously least important question on here, am I content with my life? And it's the least important, obviously, because the answer never changes ever. And I don't know when it will. Hopefully at some point in my life that will change and I'll go from happy to contented and relaxed. But currently not quite there. A lot to do. Anywho-zles. Moving on here. So yeah, like I said, this is the final announcement. Hear ye. It's finally happening. And so next week I'll be transitioning back to interesting content for you, which is great for me, great for you, great for the world. It's great for the world. And so I actually meant to throw this episode out there last night, but I noticed that I've been yawning a lot, like I said earlier, while recording, and that's just because I'm doing it at 11:30 or midnight or 1 o'clock. So sorry about that. I'm doing my best here, but it's good to be recording this and getting it out there a little earlier this time. So as far as a final announcement for this week, everything is finally coming together. Like I said, I've learned a lot from working with these guys, and we're also going to now be mentors for the next class of people, and so we got some cool things in the works with that. Once everybody gets theirs up and launched, I'll be having some of them on as guests. I'll be going on there as guests on their podcasts, and so we will see where this goes. I'm also almost done building my website, which it's mostly built, but I just need to add a few different sections. I had a couple ideas about it today, so I'm going to build those in. And then I'm going to publish it. Then I'm going to get it peer-reviewed, a.k.a. send the link to my friends and family and ask if it's something they would spend time on. And then, yeah, so I'll have that up there. Big things potentially happening on there. Got a couple ideas for a store. I'll be sharing some books that I'm reading with you guys because I've got quite a few that are in progress or that I've read recently that I like to share. And then there's room for other types of content, always blog posts, articles, all that jazz. Like I said, even a store if I'm feeling frisky. So stay tuned. And when that goes up, I will put a link in the description of my episode next week, so you can go ahead and do that. All right, so like I said, I wanted to get this up last night, but I didn't want to yawn through the episode. Part of the reason for the urgency of getting it up last night, which I didn't even cash in on anyways, was that yesterday's Daily Stoic entry is a classic and super relevant to just the world and like the, I feel like the political climate and culture. And I'm not going to get political. You know, I don't really like to get political, even though I'm a fairly political person. But I think yesterday's entry is something that needs to be shared with the world because it's widely applicable to just about anybody that you interact with on social media or in political discourse. So, and you're actually going to get a 2-for-1 special here. I'm going to read yesterday's and today's because, A, who doesn't like hearing my voice reading other people's words and talking about it, and B, they go together really well. So I'll start with yesterday's. Again, April is the month of unbiased thought. That's the theme. Yesterday was April, wrong page, April 17th. And the title of yesterday's entry was No Harm, No Foul. And there's a quote from Marcus Aurelius' Meditations, and it goes like this. Do away with the opinion I am harmed, and the harm is cast away too. Do away with being harmed, and harm disappears. So then we got Hanselman and Holiday go on to say, word can have multiple meanings. One usage can be harsh, and another might be completely innocent. The same word can mean a cruel slur or a pile of sticks. In the same way, something said sarcastically differs drastically from something that was pointed and mean. The interpretation of a remark or a word has an immense amount of power. It's the difference between a laugh and hurt feelings. No, there's Sarah texting me. Sorry. Recording. The difference between a fight breaking out and two people connecting. This is why it is so important to control the biases and lens we bring to our interactions. When you hear or see something, which interpretation do you jump to? What is your default interpretation of someone else's intentions? If being upset or hurt is something you'd like to experience less often, then make sure your interpretations of others' words make that possible. Choose the right inference from someone's actions or from external events, and it's a lot more likely you'll have the right response. So, like I said, very relevant, I think, to just the way people communicate today, the way that politics or politicians communicate. I mean, they're always just like shredding each other and being super reactionary and annoying. And that's part of the reason that I think a lot of people don't care much for politics and don't want to talk about it because it's important, but the significance of it is grossly diminished when people are behaving like children and screeching wildly every time someone on the other side of the quote-unquote aisle says something they don't 100% agree with. So I guess that really the important part of that for me and the important part that I think all people should recognize no matter how they're communicating with others is that the meaning of words is completely subjective. And that subjectivity is simultaneously the most helpful and the most dangerous thing about words in general. What you say to your friend or like your sibling in a joking manner, I've said some stuff to my brother before that he knows I'm kidding and I know I'm kidding. My dad might know that we're kidding even, but you know, some outsider that hears us say, oh, you fucking idiot, or I will kill you. An outsider might not recognize the sarcasm in our voice and they might call the cops. Who knows what the hell they'll do? That's a little bit of a ridiculous explanation. I'm kind of making a leap here. But I guess to go along with that subjectivity, a major catalyst for interpreting words incorrectly is the tone that you're actually saying those words with. I think it's probably equally, if not more so, important than the actual intent of the words that you're saying. And that's not me just like blabbing around. That's a time-tested rule in like sales, marketing, communication in general. You could change the meaning of a word with just the tone of your voice, and that's just how complex linguistic and literary devices are. That's nothing we could do about that. But that being said, the only way to,
her calling me.
Hold on one second here. Got to pause it. All right, so brief intermission there. And so where was I? Oh, so the easiest way to ground your interpretation of other people's words in reality is when you're interpreting them, you look at them objectively. Obviously, you have to absorb the tone and you have to absorb the context of those meanings. But once you've kind of filtered your own, as what did they say, your own lenses and your own biases out and be objective, what it's much easier to determine what the intent was and acknowledge the context in which those sentences or those words are uttered. And this is just a little bit of a tangent here, but I think that's the problem or one of the problems with text messaging and the advent of this impersonal, non-real-time digital communication, texting and IMs and all that kind of stuff. It's also why I much prefer calling someone when something important is on the table for discussion. It's just really easy to interpret a word on your phone the wrong way, and once you interpret something the wrong way, it's even easier to ascribe incorrect meaning or find something in that sentence that was not intended to be there by that actual person who said it. So I think that there's a lot to be digested when it comes to, I mean, for one thing, there's a lot to be digested in the sense that that's kind of a counterintuitive way to think about speech. Like you want to, your initial reaction is just, hey, what the fuck? Why would you say that? How dare you? But that leads me kind of to today's entry for the 18th of April. And you'll see why in just a second. I'm going to read that for you. So today's entry, April 18th, the title for that is Opinions Are Like. And then Epictetus from Discourses says, what is bad luck? An opinion. What are conflict, dispute, blame, accusation, irreverence, and frivolity? They are all opinions, and more than that, they're opinions that lie outside of our own reason choice, presented as if they were good or evil. Let a person shift their opinions only to what belongs in the field of their own choice, and I guarantee that person will have peace of mind, whatever is happening around them. And so, the explanation here. Opinions. Everyone's got one. You all know this isn't in the book, but you all know that saying about opinions. Armpits, assholes, all the above. So think about all the opinions you have about whether today's weather is convenient, about what liberals and conservatives believe, and whether so-and-so's remark is rude or insensitive or not, about whether you're successful or not, and on and on and on and on and on. We're constantly looking at the world around us and putting our opinion on top of it. And our opinion is often shaped by dogma, whether it's religious or cultural, entitlements, expectations, and in some cases, ignorance. No wonder we feel upset and angry all the time. But what if we let these opinions go? Try weeding them out of our lives so that things simply are. And there's a Greek word for that, ekoptein. I don't know, I just butchered that, but that means cutting or knocking out. So let's try weeding them out of our lives so that things simply are. They're not good or bad. They're not colored with opinion or judgment or bias. They just are. And plays right into what I was just talking about with speech and tonality and context and intent of speech. Somebody says something in public and you don't, let's look at it from the reverse. My brother and I are talking about something and it might seem offensive to the person and like, oh my God, I can't believe he talks to him like that. And so that person is, what are they doing? They're forming an opinion about what they just heard. And this is something that we do millions, maybe not millions, but definitely hundreds of times a day. We have an opinion about literally everything that happens in our life, and that is an absolute fact. Every time something happens, you interpret it and you look at it through the lens of all your preconceived notions and your biases, and there's really nothing you can do about that initial reaction. You can try to train your brain and think about philosophy all you want, but the reaction time between something happening and your immediate interpretation is such a split second thing. There's nothing you can do to stop that. Ah, shit, it's raining. That sucks. I hate the rain. Or, I don't like the person that won that election. This country's going to hell. I don't agree with that person over there. They're saying that thing and they're an idiot because I disagree. And now I'm mad. You got chocolate birthday cake? Ew, chocolate sucks. I don't want cake now. And those are all just, you know, random opinions that I could possibly think of. And so, you know, like he said, no wonder we're so angry and annoyed and sad all the time is because we're letting our emotions run wild. We're letting those opinions that we form based on our own biases that are sometimes, well, probably not even valid. They're not even a useful way to look at the world. We're letting those inform our actions and letting that kind of control the way that we look at the world. And so, okay, yeah, sure. You seem to have all the answers, Jim. What the hell are you going to do about it? I don't know what I'm going to do about it. Rather, I don't know what you're going to do about it, but I know what I'm going to do about it. And this is something that this is a habit that I've tried to form, and it's super hard. I'm not an expert on habit forming or breaking habits of any kind. I still have my days when I'm like not in a good mood because I'm not controlling my emotions and I'm not controlling my reaction to things, where I kind of want to just scream at somebody. But here's your second thought moment. This is where this kicks in, and this is what I'm now calling it from now on and forever. The second thought moment, where you form the habit of saying, after everything you say, everything you think, every action you have, on second thought, on second thought, and look at the complete opposite interpretation. Think about what you just thought and try to find the exact polar opposite of what you just thought. For Christ's sake, there's even an emoji about this shit. That little guy that's looking upwards, got his finger over his mouth. I use it all the time. This should be more popular than it is, considering there's an emoji. And I know that it's not popular because I have a Twitter account. Some of the things that get said on there are just wildly ridiculous. And I guarantee at least half of those quote-unquote hot takes wouldn't have been posted there if there was just a second thought moment in that person's life. They see something on Twitter, they don't have to freak out. And I mean, like I said, I do this sometimes too, even on Twitter, in person, whatever. But there wouldn't be so much outrage on that platform because sometimes it really just feels like, ugh, it's too much to handle. I got to get off of this website for a couple weeks. Like, it's unbelievable. sorry about that. Throat is very dry. But so that second thought moment, what's the purpose of that? Yeah, well, maybe I don't want to take the time for the second thought. The purpose of that second thought moment is to do exactly what they said in the book, to allow you to just let things be. Let humans be. Let the weather be. You just lost. It's just a loss. It's not the end of the world. You just won. It's not the end of the world. It's just a win. It's just an event. And we don't really recognize that these events, because we're letting our emotions get the best of us. We're interpreting things with our biases instead of looking at the world in a useful way. And more often than not, these events aren't even within our control. So why are we placing so much importance on the outcome or the actual event itself? It just is, and there's nothing we can do about it. The universe is out of your control, and the more you try to control the universe, the harder you make your life. And so you do yourself a favor, and I'm going to do myself a favor, and I'm just going to let things be. They just are. Excuse me. Well, all right. So that's all the time I have this evening. Next week, like I said, we'll be back to our regular scheduled programming. I'll have something that's actually interesting and useful to talk about other than reading out of this book. Should have that website unveiled for you next week. And I'll leave you with this. Whether you're listening on Apple Podcasts, Anchor, Libsyn, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, wherever else, go ahead, show some love. Obviously, you know, reviews and ratings and all that good shit content creators love to see. And if you'd rather not, that's cool too. Thanks for listening in the first place. And we'll see you next week. Peace.